job if you've only been saved a couple years. Job, once some of the more seasoned Christians pull you aside.
If you say Job instead of job, you know, there's no deficit.
There's more what, brother?
No deficit.
Oh, there you go. Job chapter 23. The reasoning continues. Back and forth. Job is reasoning with his... Job is reasoning with his friends, quote unquote. And it's going deeper and deeper still. As we read through this, you'll see they never change their tune. The very end, God compels them with suggestions only the way God can suggest. And lets them know that I think it's a good idea if you ask Job's forgiveness and to pray for you. They do at the very end, but they don't change their tune as they're ping-ponging back and forth with Job about why he's suffering. But what you'll notice is Job is gradually surfacing more and more light of understanding without realizing it yet. The things are coming out. And I told you it's an important thing when you have real problems. Sometimes people need space to be alone. But eventually you need to talk. And that's what's happening here. They're talking. Things are coming out. And we looked at Eliphaz in the previous chapter 22. Excuse me. And he's Mr. Polished Piety. He's got the real poetical speech and the right way of talking. And he's the eldest of the three and the most revered. But you see, as time's going on here, you could tell the edges are getting a little bit rough. It's getting a little bit disturbed at Job's lack of getting right with God based on how he thinks he should get right with God. And that is to admit there's secret sin in his life. And that's why he's got these problems. And Job's, scratching his head and saying, there's no sins that I know of. There's something more about our understanding of God. We know the true God than what we've all recognized in the past. And help me figure this thing out. They don't want to. They don't want to depart because of what the implications are that they'd have to face up to themselves. So we pick it up in verse number 8 and 9. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. Job's talking. I can't perceive him. I can't access. He's not accessible. He's not there and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, I know he's there, he's working, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. It says, I can't see God wherever he is. And it's just, so, it's just like trying to picture Adam running from God, hiding. It's Adam hiding. God's right there. There are certain things that don't allow you to see him. But it's just like somebody walking around a tree and you never see the person that's right behind you all the time, see? But he knoweth the way that I take. Now, he recognizes that God understands. He knoweth the way that I take. Basically, he's saying God knows I'm on the high road. I've been living right. I've been doing right. I've got these problems, but it's not because I've been living wrong and doing wrong. And he says, when he hath tried, now here's something he understands, but it's not the way he needs to understand it. He looks at the trial just at him, and a test of his character and his integrity. And it's more than that. And that'll be the result of. See, we always get this sort of thing backwards. The trial is his faith in who God is. And he says here, he hath tried me, not just his faith. He's looking at it as what he's doing. I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. See, he's looking at this trial has to do with his actions. You know, Bob Jones Sr. said, do right till the stars fall. And you can tell the character of man based on in what situation he'll do wrong or what it takes for him to quit. These are all character type statements that are encouraging and uplifting to an extent and kind of help you go forward. But that's not necessarily the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith has to do with your trust in God and not understanding what you're going through. And this is what he's experiencing here. Now look at this in Peter, 1 Peter 1. God's emphasis isn't so much on his actions that he wants Job to see. and maintaining his integrity based on his actions. It's just doing right because he knows shall not the judge of all the earth do right. It's his faith in God. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of you being much... No, that's not what it says, is it? It's a trial of your faith. And when God brings you to a point in your life which has similarities, probably much smaller of a degree than what Job was brought through, but it's a trial of your faith. That the trial of your faith... And what does faith come by?
Hearing.
And hearing by the what? Word of God. Important. Because what we're going to be getting to the next chapter, and how will we conclude, I'd like to get at least to there, so I want to hurry up. The trial of your faith being much more present has to do with the Word of God. When you finally come to the conclusion as an individual, this is the Word of God. You have final authority. You've got it all. Right here. And your faith will enable God to be able to reveal truths to you in this word that nothing else and nobody else can reveal to you. But he says here, much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor. Now the gold, look at this gold, look at it in Revelation 3. What God is telling the church to buy in the last days. He's telling you to buy gold with gold. Revelation 3 verse, he's talking to the Laodicean church. See in verse 14, the angel of the church of Laodicea. This is a passage of scripture you should spend time on if you haven't. Verses 14 to 18, this is how God sees the church in the last days. It's the condition of the church that we live in right now. And the church isn't a local church. He's addressing a local church that has character traits that represent the church in the last days, a period of time. That's why he addresses seven of them. And Laodicea, he says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. It's already been tried. It's incredible to me as I read this and begin to understand it more and more and more in my life. It's one of the most deepest truths that just allow the riches and wealth of God to be outpoured upon us. Our faith is tried like gold. But he wants us to buy of him something that's already been tried, he says. The buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's over there in Isaiah. It's Jesus Christ. His faith. I kid you not, brother. There's no other way to do it. The epitome of pure faith is what transpired at the cross. What did Jesus Christ say on the cross? My God, why hast thou what? And then he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my... He was still there. The relationship of God with himself existed by pure faith. Faith it's not a question mark in God's mind. Amen. And he only prays out loud so that we can hear him. Amen. That's what he tells his apostles. He's showing us that you can believe and trust and wait on me. Amen. You don't have to understand. You just have to trust. That's the understanding you need. That God is doing right and only doing right in such a way that's for your best interest. Always. All things work together for good. Isaiah chapter 28. That's why you find that phrase in Paul's epistles over and over and over. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of who? Of the Son of God. You find that over and over. That's an incredible statement. Think about it. God's relationship with himself for all eternity and all that's ever been created to witness, you can trust me. based on my word. Existed by faith. Isaiah chapter 28. That's how powerful faith is. That's why the apostles always say, increase our faith, increase our faith. He says, you just need faith like a mustard seed. It begins to open up. He said it. Isaiah 28. Verse 16. Therefore, thus saith Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Now, you know who that stone is? It's Jesus Christ. He quotes this in Peter. A tried stone. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. This is that wonderful statement. We're not going to go deep into it. Romans chapter 1, where he says, from faith to faith. For God is able to open our eyes, and our faith enables him in what he did on the cross to open our eyes. Now, that's what happened when you got saved. But there is endless wealth that belongs to us because of what Christ did on the cross. And there's a deeper understanding that God expects of us to desire, to yearn for, to hunger for, and to discover. That took place at the cross. Not just when we got saved, but I'm talking about eternity. It all took place at the cross. Now look back. Now, Job doesn't have any understanding of this. I'm showing you how it applies to you and I. Because he's trying out, I counsel of you to buy of me gold. Buying gold. Remember, Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy the power of the same power the apostles had to for the power of the Holy Spirit? And they rebuked him. You can't buy this with money. Gold for gold. He will allow you to go through trials in your life, and which you will call a cross. But its only intention is to bring you to an understanding of his cross. We've been joined to that. This is the life of a Christian that awaits the lives of Christians that don't yet understand the life of Christ that indwells them. Now back in look in Psalms 105, sir.
So what do you, when he says buy?
Yes.
Right. How do you get around? Like that's a work. How do I buy? So what are you saying? What are we buying it with? We're buying
faith.
Faith.
Absolutely.
That's the currency that we.
Yeah, buy. Absolutely.
It's not. Okay.
Oh, absolutely, brother. Look at Romans 1:17. This is what God chose this verse for the Reformation. This is the verse that's awaiting revival in Christians' lives on an individual basis. There will not be revival on a grand scale before Christ returns. That would be contrary to the depiction in Revelation 3. And in the last days, there'll be a falling away. We're talking about the body of Christ. But he's bidding those that hunger for him to get out of the system and let him back in and discover some. God is almighty. So the currency is faith. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Wonderful truth, brother. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It's a revelation. From faith to faith. We're buying it, see? As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, he's quoting this. We studied it when we went through Romans 1. He's quoting that from Habakkuk. And it says, the just shall live by his faith. And that's why Paul talks about that phrase all the time. That's, the New Bibles change that phrase. They don't say the faith of the Son of God. They say faith in the Son of God. But the faith's one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's a Holy Spirit fruit. But you can have faith. See? Your faith in what God's Word says is what's purchasing. It is the currency that allows God's faith in all that He did based on His Word to be something that opens our eyes to how great He is. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Let me show you one other verse in Romans. Look at it in Romans 3, I think it is. Yeah. Romans 3:22.
It's nothing on yourself either.
Exactly.
He's putting the faith in you.
Yes.
Saying that buying it, but I'm giving you the faith to buy it with.
Well, he brings you through whatever fires you are, the gold that's tried, so that with our faith.
Right.
So that you can say, I'm just going to trust him.
Right.
And that's right. There's no works involved.
Right.
God's got this thing figured in such a way that you and I have the opportunity to join ourselves to this wonderful glory of God that he wants to shine through us. But it has nothing to do with our works.
Right.
Ever. So there's no reason to boast. There's no reason to compete. There's no reason to worry. There's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to be insecure in your relationship with God.
But that's one of those where somebody could say, I got to go out and do something. Buy it. I got to go out. I got
to. Exactly, brother. Exactly. Exactly. But how do you buy it?
John.
Sir.
Where's the, I want to make sure. Where he says, but don't try it in the fire.
That's Christ.
That's Christ's faith.
That's absolutely. It's already been tried.
It's already been tried.
It's already been tried.
It's all. So everything's already been done.
It's already been done. It's accomplished. Yeah. Yes. Some of this might be. Is this confusing anybody in here? Somebody never heard anything like this. Let's look at a couple of verses. Look in Titus chapter 1. God wasn't just like bored one day in eternity. Like, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? I already know everything, can do everything, am everything. You know? He never was bored. The only purpose of creation is so that we can know Him. There's no other purpose for our existence other than to know God. And Christians lose sight of that and they get caught into a Martha mentality. We got to work it so ground. We got to work it so ground. We got to work it so ground. And you just get wore out. Titus chapter 1. See it in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. According to the... See, Paul is Paul. People don't walk around calling... The titles are something of an office. They're not titles where there are names of people. When Christians insist on that, that's a ground that places them, in your estimation, above you. And that's dangerous. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith, look at that, of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of what? Which God that cannot lie, now when did He promise this? Who could He possibly have promised that to before the world began? Who?
No Jesus.
Only Himself. No one else existed. They had an agreement for eternity. Before eternity's creation. Before the time element of eternity. Before, in hope of eternal life, God promised before the world began and it would all be in Christ Jesus. Everything that would take place would take place in Christ. He purposes in Himself. Look at Ephesians 1. Before the world began. This is an eternal agreement. What was it? Everlasting life. Let me see. I'm missing the verse here. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. So God made a promise before the world began of eternal life. This is what now you begin to see. These are all the things that were being demonstrated in the Old Testament. All the types and the stories of the Old Testament are all typifying the future glory of God through the cross, when He would become a man and die on a cross. Like Nehushtan, like the sacrifice of the animals and the lambs that are killed and the tree that's cast into the water that was bitter and made sweet. These are all the whole ark and the instruments of the tabernacle. They're all typifying Christ. Israel, every night when they bed, they lay in rows where they form the picture of a cross from an aerial view every single night, not even realizing. This is what God saw. So you look back, John, you're in Ephesians 1 verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. God had a purpose and a plan before He made anything. And He made promises. This is what you need to see from this. Look at it in 2 Timothy chapter 1. wasn't expecting to go over this, but that's okay. Okay, see it in verse 9? Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world begins. God had a purpose and a plan that existed before He created anything. Promises were made before He did anything. Look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What was He going to do? He was going to reveal Himself. Now here's God's dilemma. How can He make anybody that could know Him? Well, He can't make a mind that can know Him. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. That's all I want you to see, is this thing is understood way before anything was made. There's a promise. Now, within this promise, look in Galatians and see this. The only way it could ever be known or understood is by faith. You've got to get this. You can't create something that can know God of their own mind. You can't. How can you know God apart from faith? You can't prove Him. You can't demonstrate Him. He's God. If you could, He wouldn't be God. If you could recreate God, He can't create Himself. So the only way you can know Him is by faith. Galatians chapter 2. Well, He's creating everything. So He has to provide the faith. But how could we choose to know Him? Well, this is where He gives us the opportunity to believe. Galatians chapter 2. Look at this, how you find this phrase. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by who? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. See in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by who? The faith of who? Even we have belief. See, we have faith, but our faith is reward. That's how you buy of me gold. Our faith allows the faith that Jesus Christ had when He went to the cross so that we could know. This is why God did everything. Let's say there was never any sin. No sin. And everybody lived forever and ever. Everything, the benevolence of God was something that everybody that was created would know and experience and enjoy. Would you know all there is to know about God? Would you know wrath? Would you know anger? Would you know the balance of love or the depth of love that has hatred for that which opposes His love? See? Would you know that? Would you know His equity? Would you know His justice? You would not know all that there is to know of God. That's why He allowed sin in the first place. See? That's why He allows suffering in our life. See? Suffering is the result of sin. Not necessarily your sin. That's what Job, that's where we go back to Job. That's why Job's the first book ever written in the Bible. One of the most important books in the Bible to get. Because man is trapped in a good versus evil concept of God. And their faith is all based on their actions. And not who God is. And that's what's being purged from Job, because he's going to have a revelation of who God is. But you see this faith business? The faith of who? Jesus Christ, sir.
I don't know if I'm going to get my point across directly, but Jesus was fully God, fully man.
Yes.
He was the only one that lived this earth perfect.
Yes.
So as He went to the cross, He went to the cross as man.
Yes. Okay.
But He didn't have the full revelation until...
Okay, stop right there. Before you continue, He went as man, but He never stopped being God.
Right.
Because the thief on the cross said, Lord... Remember? So He didn't stop being God. The veil of His deity was not something that was opened up for people to see. It was, as man, He had to die for our sins.
Right. I
know.
Where I was going.
Okay, good. So now what were you going to say beyond?
That's His faith was...
Yes.
Human.
Yes.
Perfect.
But it's God veiled in human flesh.
Right.
Yes. It's brother, when you say wow, it's explosive. It's the only way we can know God is by faith.
Yeah.
It's the only way you can know God. How did you get saved? By faith. And when you got saved by faith, God opens your eyes to understand that you are saved. Amen? But there's something deeper that took place at the cross. He wants you to see you passed from death unto life. You live in a body of sin. But that's no longer you. And until a Christian discovers that, he's trying to harness this. He's trying to change and shape this. And eventually it breeds frustration to the point either you quit or you get proud.
This meaning your flesh.
Yes. And the Christian that realizes there's something, that's what Job is discovering. There's something more than good versus evil about our faith. Brian?
Yeah, to really demonstrate the faith of Christ, the Father, how can you even fathom what it would be like from God to become a sinner? That took upon our sin as a sinner who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him.
That's just, it's mind-boggling. Amen? But like the brother said, that experience as a human, still being God, was His demonstration to the universe for all eternity. You can trust me.
Yep.
That's all you can do. And the epitome of that, the absolute epitome of that, is at the cross. Because the presence of God in a relationship with Himself existed at that moment in time only by pure faith. And this is where God is bringing the Christian to an understanding in His relationship that you can trust me. Now, as you begin to discover this incredible truth about God in this relationship He has with Himself that is allowing us to partake in, it's all by faith, brother. It begins to unleash the power, not only of your death with Him, but your resurrection. Why do you get grieved over sin in your life after you're a Christian? Is it the old man or the new man?
Yes.
But who's being grieved?
The new man.
The new man.
Yeah.
That's not the old man. The old man can enjoy sin. The new man's going to grieve over it. Amen? You have two natures that exist simultaneously in the same body. Amen? And so that's what he's talking about, put off the old man. That's the work of the cross in the Christian life that awaits the Christian to discover. Look in Romans chapter... stay in Galatians. Galatians 3. We saw in verse 16. By the faith of Jesus Christ, even we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. See? His faith in what He did. He was trusting that He would resurrect. Did He resurrect yet when He was on the cross? No. He's two natures here. Hey? Amen? He was trusting He would resurrect based on a promise given to Him in eternity past. God had this whole thing figured out. Jesus Christ would be the man. The cross would be the place. That's where eternity kissed time.
John, where are you?
Galatians 3, verse 2, verse 16, rather. See that faith of the Son of God. You find that over and over and over in Paul's epistles. Look at Galatians 3. See in verse 22? But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise, there's that promise in Titus, by faith of who? See, people think God can't have faith. What are you talking about? What do you mean He can't have faith? He believes in Himself. See, all of a sudden faith becomes more than just, you know, something ether. He wants to show faith is tangible. Everything here exists.
He has faith to make the world.
That's right. You know, by faith we understand. The things we see are made of things we can't see. Well, the whole thing, all of this is supposed to open up to Christians more and more and more. God can't hide anymore. Galatians 3, look at verse 22. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
That's amazing.
See that? This is what he's talking about in Romans 1, verse 17. From faith to faith. See? Look at it. Look at this in Romans chapter 3. It's in all Paul's epistles. You can't escape it. And it goes hand in hand with understanding the crucified life, because that's where it was expressed. That's what's taking place here. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. They spoke about it in the Old Testament. Even the righteousness of God, which is what?
By faith
of who?
Jesus Christ.
Do you see that phrase? And you can't say it's faith in Jesus Christ, because he's saying it over and over again, and he's making a distinction in the same verse over and over again. By the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what?
Believe.
Our faith is different than his faith. But our faith allows us to access something that his faith just manifested to the world. I am God! That's what he's saying. I'm the resurrection and the life, and I'll prove it to you. I'll die, and by faith, I'll demonstrate the power I have to rise again. Now, that's the same faith that can tap into the life that belongs in a Christian right now. Victory belongs to every Christian. Not that you're going to live a sinless life, but freedom from sin belongs to every Christian every day. And learning how to access that is the wonderful triumph that God wants believers to enjoy. Because that, we're his workmanship. That's what he's doing. That's what he's going to do at the judgment seat of Christ. It's all the judgment. Not saying all. That is something that taking it lighthearted. But that's all the judgment. It's taking those spots and wrinkles. Amen? But in Song of Solomon, the groom looks at the bride and says, I don't see any spot in her. He sees us in Christ already perfect. He's working from the perfect. That's why we're more. That's what being more than conquerors is all about. Now look in Romans 3. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make what? The faith of who? The faith of God without effect. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Do you see this concept that is, I'm trying to get across through the phrase, the faith of the Son of God, the faith of God? God's belief in himself isn't, it's not just, you know, I hope he's true. It's a knowledge. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 1. You know what we're going to do? We're going to continue with this and go right to, because we're going to jump to chapter 24 of Job and show you this is exactly what the devil doesn't want a Christian to understand. The devil doesn't want lost people to come to the cross and understand the cross. Why? So you get saved. He doesn't want Christians to go back to the cross. And until they understand death, you have to go back to that cross. Paul says, I die daily. Because that's where you're free. From sin, not to sin. He doesn't want a Christian to understand that. He wants you to come down from the cross. Prove you're a son of God. Come down from the cross. No. God proves you're a son of God by keeping you on the cross. Amen? Till you die. Where'd I say turn?
Hebrews
what?
One.
Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. So did God make promises before anything existed? What's, sure he did. Who only could they have been to? Amen. Faith. That's that whole thing about faith. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his, where's his, okay, by whom, okay, verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by what?
The word.
God is upholding all things by what?
By the word.
The word of his power, brother. So the antithesis to faith is unbelief. Who's the daddy of all unbelief?
The devil.
The devil. He was a liar from the what? And abode not in the what? Now you're discovering something. This is how you dethrone God. You want to know how you dethrone God? You make him a liar. You want to know how you sit on the throne with God? You believe him. That's the enthroned life of Revelation 3. That's what he wants us to understand. We're seated in heavenly places. To recognize we're children of Almighty God. We're one with Christ. What a wonderful truth. Not just the words, but the understanding in a little tiny bit. Amen. Just the crumbs. Look at Hebrews 12. All of a sudden, faith becomes more than just a belief. It becomes an understanding that has substance. Your faith becomes evidence of what you believe. It becomes a law. And it's such a law that anybody who's willing to challenge this theory, because they don't know it's a law yet, will find and discover themselves that it's true. It's called the law of faith in the book of Romans. It's just like gravity, anything else. But the devil will try to dethrone God. When you don't believe God, you're kicking him off the throne. That's what you're doing. Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 11 rather. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's substantive. The evidence of things not seen. Faith becomes evidence. It becomes your faith in what God's word says allows him to unzipper this universe. Open it up and see beyond the veil. Amen. Amen. He's God. So he says, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what?
The word of God.
This is an incredible statement. Now look back in Job so we can get some Job in here tonight, okay? Because that's why we came, isn't it? Amen. Job 24. Man, does anybody... See, in verse 25, this is where I wanted to get to, somewhere around here. We'll get there next week, but let's do this verse now, because it's tying right in what we're saying. Because faith and unbelief, they're diametrically opposed. One is all God, the other is all the devil. Amen? Yea, hath God said. Who said that? Challenging God's word. The devil said that. Right? Yea, hath God. The first words out of his mouth, recorded in Scripture. As far as when Moses wrote it. Genesis 1, Job 24. And if it be not so now, who will make me a what? Job 24, 25. Make me a what? A liar. Who's the father of all lies? Satan. Okay, now what? And make my speech. If you can make God, if you can break the Scriptures, you will dethrone God. And so when you travel through the Scriptures and not just see God and His promises opening up throughout the Bible as He begins to show you what was, it's bubbling, and I can't wait for people to see what I'm talking about. And He's hiding it here and stuff. It's like, oops, almost let it go, oops, almost there. But I'm just kind of exaggerating and theatricizing. But you come through here and it's like, there it is, my son. He's talking about his son being born. He's talking about his son, all in the Old Testament, that it's all hidden. Amen. But it's bubbling up. God can't wait for it to happen. Now, this is what we're experiencing now. He can't wait for us. We are going to see heaven. Come on, brother. We're all going to die. Amen. The Bible is true. Tongue in cheek, I'm talking. Then we're going to see heaven. Amen. So he says here, and make my speech nothing worth. This is how you dethrone God. See? Because look at this. Look in Revelation 21, verse 8. What happens to everyone who's a liar? They're cast where? Whoa. And what, might I ask, is the lake of fire? It has to do with God, right? What aspect of God is the lake of fire? His fury, his wrath. That's what hell is. Hell was prepared for who? He's trying to reverse this thing. He's trying to dethrone God. This is a battle between God and the spiritual world and Lucifer, who fell and became Satan and has convinced. How do you convince a third of the angels? Come on, brethren. That's pretty potent deception, wouldn't you think? They don't believe God is Almighty God. How's the only way they could believe that? By faith. They didn't exist before God. They didn't see God come into existence. They came into existence and God was already there. They had to believe it. But they choose not to. They believe they can evolve into God. Look at it in Revelation 21. Look at verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second. He's trying to annihilate God. Look at this in Psalms chapter 7. This is incredible. How do you annihilate God? Father, does anybody have a balloon?
No.
I could use three, but... Oh, here we go. I got one right here. I love that wallet. Psalms chapter 7. There we go. You figure all these people here tonight, at least somebody would have a balloon. All these thousands of people coming to Bible study, at least one person would have a balloon. I'd really like to have three. Let me see here. Oh, wait a minute. I got two more right here. Praise the Lord. This is incredible. Too many double cheeseburgers, Brother John. Was anybody thinking that in here? Two. I'm going to show you three wonderful words. The secret of all that exists. Well, you know God is one of them. Right? Let me see. You know that, well, you don't know this, but now you do. And is one of them. Here's the third one. You don't know this one. It's another one-syllable word. It's very simple. Let me see. Let's do it right here. And... here you go, shit.
What is the word?
What's it say? What's it say? You can't read the blue one. And God said. Now, if you could just deflate one, or make one of these not true, what would happen to the all that exists? Has anybody got a pen? Let me see. I might have a pen. That would work. Oh, wait a minute. I got a pen. Right there. What's going to happen if you can make one of these true? Okay, you understand. There you go, right? What would happen if you made that not true? If you destroy, what would happen? See? God would implode. You've destroyed God. It is impossible for God to lie. He made everything by His word. And God said, pop any one of those, and God's a liar. See? And all liars will have their part in where? The lake of fire. Look at it in Psalms chapter 7. See, I'm telling you, brother, all the power of all that God has ever done belongs to us. See, we have the ability to know forever and ever, to grow in our knowledge of God for all eternity. We'll never know all there is to know of God, because there's always more. But He gives us that capacity. What did He put within us that will allow us that capacity? Huh? Himself. In the person of the Holy Ghost. But our growth and knowledge of God and understanding of God has to do with our faith in this Word. And look at in Psalm chapter 7. Now you find this over and over and over again. The devil is trying to destroy God. He's trying to annihilate Him, to dethrone Him. How's he doing? He's trying to break the Scriptures. If the virgin birth just doesn't happen, see? If you stone Mary to death before Jesus can be born, they were accusing her of being a harlot of sorts. That's what they were calling her. Psalms chapter 7. Psalms chapter 7. Remember Naaman trying... Haman trying to kill Esther? Amen. He built a gallows, didn't he? What ended up happening? You find that over and over and over again. Psalm chapter 7. That's why there's such an attack on the Word of God. I get a kick in such a way that I want to kick. Preachers that I hear correct this book. Whenever anybody says, and you'll never hear me say it, This is an unfortunate translation. When they said that, they didn't believe what they're about to read. That's unbelief. They placed what they're about to say in its place on a higher authority than what this actually says. You'll never, ever hear me say that. Amen? Because I believe through and through this is God's word. Every jot and tittle. Psalm chapter 7. Let me see, what's he say? Okay, look at verse 14. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity. He hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head. His violent dealing shall come down upon his own pit. You find this, look in a couple places in Psalms. Psalms 35. You find this over and over in Psalms. Psalms chapter 35. See in verse 7? Without cause they have hid from me their net in a pit. Remember they tried to get Jesus Christ Satan tried to get God to destroy Job. He says, without cause. Right? Remember in the Bible Jesus Christ says, if a man is angry without cause, he's in danger of what? Hellfire. Your new Bibles take out that word, without cause. If Jesus Christ was angry without cause, he's in danger of what?
Hellfire.
Take out the words without cause. If he that is angry, if you get angry, you're in danger of hellfire. Was Jesus Christ ever angry? Whoa. Somebody's changing the Bible in such a way that'll make Jesus Christ in danger of hellfire. See that? It's the devil. Psalm 35, without cause they have hid from me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. You can't miss it. They let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. He's trying to use God's holiness against himself, and he's doing it through an attempt to get God to break his word, turn God into a liar. Everything, he's upholding all things by the power of his word. All these planets, which I tried to simulate through some balloons, they'll just implode if God's a liar. Brother, we got a problem if God's a liar. Everybody else can be a liar. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, let all men be liars. Amen? But not God. That's the one thing you can count on. Amen? Look at it in Psalm. Let me show you a couple of the places. Psalm 140, while we're in Psalm. Psalm 57. You find this over and over again. What's the Lord? He's showing you there's a pattern here. They have prepared a net for my steps. Psalm 57:6. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. This all has to do with hell. Lake fire. He's trying to get God's holiness to destroy, to consume God himself. One other place in Psalms. It'll be enough. Psalm 141 verse 10. So, whatever trial you might be going through, I don't know what anybody's going through today. It's not just a trial of you. It's a trial of your faith. It's a trial of your faith. Can you trust God? I don't understand. You don't have to understand. You have to understand that you can trust God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Job's looking at a trial of him. It's not just a trial of him. It's your faith. And when you believe, then gradually God will bring you out and show you that you can trust me. And he'll open your eyes eventually and show you what he's doing. Amen. In Psalms chapter number 141, verse number 10. Same thing. Over and over and over again. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I will escape. There is an escape. There is an escape. Look at it in 1 Peter. We'll be wrapping this up, coming to a close. Okay, in summation, about a message that really didn't have anything to do with Job, but we tried to tie it into Job. And we did get one verse that we could connect it to, right? Does God have faith? Sure he does. Faith's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Where was that faith expressed? The cross. In such a way that for all eternity the universe could see it and witness it. Somebody doesn't want you to believe God so that his faith can have an effect upon us. We're going to look at two verses and we'll be done. In 1 Peter chapter 1. gold for gold. 1 Peter chapter 1. So you're going through something? You can trust God. 1 Peter chapter 1. What does he say? Or is it 2 Peter 1? Okay, jump to 2 Peter 1. I always get the two of them confused. There it is. See in verse 1? Simon Peter, a servant. See it? Simon Peter? See, the titles are their offices, not their names. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And he goes through this, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is. It all has to do with discovering what it means to partake of this divine nature. He says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Brother, we're free. We're already free. Our faith has to discover this. And so the Christian journey will go down a path where there will be multiple failures upon failures upon failures. Till you realize it's no longer I, but sin. And by faith, God opens your eyes that you live in a body of sin that He'll never change. And your freedom will be through understanding the work of the cross in your own life. Now, His faith in what He did on the cross can open our eyes. Here's the last place they said we turn. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's either 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians. Whenever there's 1 and 2, I get them mixed up. Yep, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye have heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the what? The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? That's how, there's the currency. Your faith allows God to reveal to you the truth of His word. Because of what He did by faith, all that He is, not just part of what He is, all that He is capable to be capable of being known. We'll never know all that He is, but all that He is has been opened up for eternity. When you got saved, you got in. There's nothing more. Amen. Except more and more and more Jesus. See? We would see Him. Who? Jesus. That's why you should be coming to church, brother. Amen. Opening the Bible so you could discover a deeper understanding of Christ and what belongs to you in Christ. Do you kind of understand? Did I totally lose you? I wouldn't expect to go over that to that extent tonight.
It'll be on
today. Oh, amen. Any other questions or anything before we just close real quick? Lord, bless. Please bless. Please. In spite of me, in spite of all of us, please bless your word. Open our eyes to these wonderful truths about what you did when you came here as a man for us. Help us to understand this so we can become more confident in our blessed and privileged relationship with you through your Son in Christ's name. Amen.